I'd like to dedicate this Bible class to Ron Dunn. Okay? And I'd like to read his obituary. This isn't confusing, okay? This is Ron Dunn. Ronald David Dunn, 68, of Pollock, Louisiana, passed away Sunday, January the 23rd. 2022 at Integris Baptist Medical Center in Oklahoma City. He was born December 12, 1953 in Alexandria, Louisiana, and lived in Pollock for over 50 years with his family. He was part of the last class that graduated from Pollock High School. He is preceded in his death by his father, William Dunn, his mother, Coletta Wagner Dunn, and sister, Deborah Dunn. Those left to cherish his memory are his wife, Kelly, brother-in-law, Nick's former wife, Nick DiLorenzo, his two dogs, Riley May and Connor, as well as many friends and family. Ron was a lover of the Word of God. He studied Bible doctrine for many years, first under R.B. Thieme, Jr., and continued under Jack Ballinger. He would want every person reading this to know he is in heaven, face to face with the Lord, and you too can be there when your time comes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. I would like to add that while I am saddened by his departure, he didn't get my permission. I'm saddened by his departure because my experience as a pastor teacher for many years has been that it's difficult to come up with genuine, long-term, positive volition. And he was one of those. He found me. Our deal in Louisiana back in the day, I don't know how many years ago that was. But him and Kelly made it here 6 months ago, almost precisely to the day. Isn't that correct? Okay. 6 months to the day of his passing and going face to face to be with the Lord. Of course, I'll miss his fellowship. We had a lot of things we liked to talk about in the short time that we did have some time together with regard to Bible doctrine, his coming and becoming aware out there in Louisiana of the flat earth doctrine and his acclimation to it, his witness of it, and so forth and so on. So anyway, I can't do justice to anybody. You know, I can only say that I'm proud to have believers like that come my way in time. And I'm jealous. He's in heaven. And we're going to hook up with this pretty darn soon. The way things are going, everything that I can see, the coming of the Lord is at hand in a big way, in capital letters. We who know the prophecies and see the signs, they're just screaming at us. All these things Jesus said would come to pass. Wars and rumors of wars. Now we got two big wars that are being rumored. It's just rumors. There's no guarantee there's going to be a war between Russia and Ukraine or China and Taiwan. It's just we had it with North Korea during the Trump deal. That was just constantly going on. Nothing came of it. Jesus Christ controls history. And is Lord over the nations, not some distance where he doesn't affect anything. Nothing will happen in the great plan of God that will upset one detail in the plan. And that, of course, brings us down to what we are studying here in Romans chapter 8. Rereading the two verses, that we have, because this goes from eternity past to, well, you could argue eternity future, the glorification of the royal family. The first two verbs, see, I want you to be able to just read this and I know exactly what this is. The first two verbs involve the function of divine essence in eternity past. In eternity past, the attribute that is outstanding is the attribute of omniscience. He knew who would get saved. God wants everybody to get saved. I'll give you a verse coming up on that. He wants everybody to get saved. He desires all men to be saved. And furthermore, he desires all to come to a full knowledge of the truth. But the numbers are few comparatively. I base this on documentation. I would have no way of knowing numbers other than what the Bible says. That the broad way that leads to destruction, that's where the many are. The narrow way, I use the analogy of a big interstate. And everybody's flying down the road. But here's your last chance for the exit, to get off of it. And narrow is the way that leads to life, and few enter. Why? It's volition. It has nothing to do with God not wanting to save people. Christ died for all. That's evidence that God desires all to be saved. John 3:16 tells us that his attribute of love is directed towards the human race in providing a Savior and an escape way to get eternal life and avoid eternal wrath. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the specific language. That he would make those he foreknew would get saved. That they would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the new humanity. The redeemed, glorified, new humanity. Without any of the ills and problems associated with this one. The new humanity. Endless youth. Adult youth, but endless youth. None of the ills and the problems that relate to this life will be a part of the resurrection life. No pain, no sorrow, no aging. No accidents. No death. We are to become the immortals. The immortals. I know people, they probably won't sell t-shirts then, will they? I don't need to advertise something on a t-shirt. It's what's up here. That's what's advertised. What comes out your mouth. The divine viewpoint of things. This is where we're headed. And it won't wait for anybody. God's purposes will be fulfilled. And I don't care if you're 10 or 90 years old. You're going to be resurrected right where you sit, stand, lie, whatever, and get a resurrection body like Jesus Christ. And you won't miss anything back here. Well, I never got old enough to fill in the blank. Yeah, well, you didn't. Somebody has to be your age when the rapture occurs. Just be sure you are positive and adjusted to the plan when it comes time for you to go out of here. That's all I can say. Encourage you to get that high reward. That's got to be real special. Because if that's the best God can do, it's got to be really phenomenal to live under the aura of a crown-worthy, a wreath-worthy believer. So we're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's for all believers. That's the basic, what I call the basic package. Body, soul, and human spirit, with all the doctrine, rewards will vary, obviously, because they require application of Bible doctrine. Which you can do every day in your ordinary routines, whatever you're going to work, getting over a cold, dealing with some opposition to your faith, persecution, various forms it takes, and all the rest of it. As in our song, mortal ills prevailing. And God knows the world is jam-packed with them. A lot of them are man-made, man-designed by evildoers that aren't content to run their own lives. They want to dominate everybody. Now it's with a medical tyranny. Pray about it. Do not jump into their arms. They're liars. They're harming people. We haven't begun to see it. They're going to have ill effects from this 1, 2, 3 years down the road. It's sad. And now they want to shoot up babies. Babies. And a lot of people are suffering. There's certain people around the world, they're starting to revolt. They made a thing about the truckers out of Canada. No, hell no, we won't go. We won't get vaxxed. And they're in these convoys. We'll shut you down. You better drop this mandate mess. Truckers, which people all depend on. Without all those big trucks running around, you ain't going to have anything in your Target store or your grocery store or your restaurant or whatever it is. So the predestination aspect, that might be a scary word for some because of the false theology that arose from it during the Reformation, the church age, Calvinism. Lutheranism has elements of it too, which it's so easy to refute. So easy to refute. God, from his essence of love, loves everybody equally. But he can't provide for everybody equally because it requires volition. I believe. And beyond, as a growing believer. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. We'll deal with that a little bit. There's two aspects of firstborn. But it's not firstborn. The word is used, firstborn is used in connection with his mother, Mary. It said Mary's firstborn was, of course, Jesus. But it's not how it's used here. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. Nobody else, anywhere else, has this type of resurrection body. Yes, people have been raised, but was back to their natural body as they were before they died, age-wise and so forth. We're talking about firstborn from the dead, resurrection body. He's the firstborn from the dead. All right. So he predestined us to a destiny to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who was the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Point 17, foreknowledge makes nothing certain, but predestination does. It's a predetermined, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to make these people who I foreknew, I'm going to make them conform to the image of my Son in the final analysis. And that means body, soul, and spirit. The perfect man. The perfect man. Perfect humanity. The what he predestined is defined specifically here as conforming believers to the image of his Son. 19, God did not predestinate the salvation of those he foreknew, but what the ultimate result would be under ultimate sanctification, fifth and final verb. Our final state is to be like his Son, Jesus Christ, body, soul, and spirit. Some verses, 1 Corinthians, Forty-nine. For just as we have borne the image of the earthly, right now you're bearing the image of the earthly, we'll also bear the image of the heavenly. That's dealing with the same idea here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Oh, in the meantime, before you get the full image and the full impact of it, body, soul, and spirit, in the meantime, you are being transformed through the intake and application of doctrine, i.e. spiritual growth. You're being transformed into that image, the image of Christ. What do you think Christ-like means? It means that you have, or the person has, the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine, sound doctrine, in their soul, and they are Christ-like. The old, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What would be his attitude towards? Fill in the blank. Some things are just what they are, but some things are demand a divine viewpoint readout. Philippians 3:21. Well, I'll read the whole verse. Paul likes long sentences, doesn't he? Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Oh, really? Well, you got a dual citizenship. Maybe you got your citizenship here in the United States, but you have a new citizenship. Your citizenship is in heaven, from which place also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. There is a straightforward, in-your-face verse saying that you're going to get a resurrection body that matches his. He will transform this body with the body of his glory. How does he do this? By the exertion of the power, application of omnipotence. By the exertion of the power that he himself, that he has even to subject all things to himself. All things in the creation. That same power. This will be easy for deity to transform all us church age saints and so forth. Now, 1 John 3:2, which I've quoted over and over. More documentation is if you needed it. As I say to each and every one of you, here's what John the Apostle said. Beloved, the Greek adverb now lies in right now. Beloved, now we are children of God. You don't get to be more of a child of God. You're a full-fledged child of God right now. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Person to person. Eye contact. And we will be like him. So there's your verses. God's eternal purpose is to make us like the Savior. Okay? So, this ultimate purpose is part of the divine decrees. So again, based on what God foreknew, he predestined believers to be in the image of his Son. 24. One of the titles is chosen or elect. The elect or chosen of God. We are the elect. As a synonym for predestination, election. We were elected to be a part of the eternal plan and purpose of God of resurrection glory. In other words, you were elected based on what God knew about you, that you'd believe in Christ in time. So one of the titles is chosen or elect. Paul uses these terms regularly, as do others. 1 Corinthians. People want to be an elite deal, don't they? They want to be this. They want to be that. All of it's nothing as held up against this. People get excited. Well, I was chosen for this. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. But God has chosen. Now let's look at it from the divine viewpoint. God has chosen the foolish things of the cosmos. What does he mean by that? The cosmos, in its higher echelons, you and I are nobodies. By the power elite, the rulers. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. The things that are discounted by the cosmos. To shame the wise. To put to shame the wise. High IQ types that come up with these ideas and philosophies and formulate these and have big names like Einstein. Well, he was a crank anyway. But he played the game. Yeah, he had a high IQ. To shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. A person out here doesn't have much human resources. Whatever, however we classify weak, monetarily, physically, having influence, he chooses the weak things. Don't misunderstand this. He doesn't just pick weak and foolish things, the ones that are foolish positive, weak positive, from the standpoint of the world's view of things. He likes to do this. He will lift them up. To shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world. And the despised God has chosen. The things that are not. So that he may nullify the things which are. So that no man may boast before God. He'll strip them of it. The scripture says that not many mighty are called. Not many wise after the flesh are called. Why? Because they're negative as a group. They're impressed with their wealth, their power, and their IQ. He didn't say not any. He said not many. If you're going to do it by percentages, yes, there's a lot of base things, weak things, and all the rest. They're not chosen either because they're negative. But God does not say, "Oh, I don't. They're beneath me." No, he gets a kick out of taking someone at the lowest strata who's a believer and raising them up. Exceptions to not many mighty are called would be Moses and Nebuchadnezzar. They were mighty in their way before in their careers. but they are exceptions. Percentage-wise, obviously the upper class, we might today they might call them, well, that's the 1%. Multi-billionaires, trillionaires, whatever the dummies are. Who are taking solace and comfort in all of their possessions and surroundings and privileges. As a percentage, as a group, fewer of them even come around to salvation. Than out of the lower echelons down the ladder. No, it isn't like poor people are all over the place jumping on board with this either. But God does not thumb his nose at them. He's not impressed with and not turned off because someone doesn't have whatever. Okay, I'll let you go. I just want to say that well, I sort of stumbled last Wednesday. No snow. Not here, like it goes around. Jerusalem and Samaria got blanketed in snow. Email thing I got. They got a bunch of it. They got like a 10-year snow all at once. Just thought I'd tell you. But what I was going to tell you was this. If I might deem to close class on a given night just because it's too blank cold. I mean, I might. And crazy wind and everything. This week's going to start off lovely. It's going to be 70 tomorrow, they say. But it's going to go down. It's going to go downhill towards the weekend. So we'll play it one at a time. If you don't have your name on the list, that's your fault. If you get caught in one of those things, you can always call Brenda. Oh, me. Okay? All right, let's dismiss. Thank you, Father, for the day and the opportunity. We do not take these things for granted, and we thank you that we have this opportunity to shine spiritually through the doctrine you've been giving us. Be with us in Christ's name. Amen.